Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope that is it on? I can't see. My neck's hurting. I can't look down. It's good to be in the house of God anywhere, isn't it?
Amen.
Because God is good all the time. Thank you for allowing me to be here this morning and try to share with you a message that I've been thinking about it a good while. In the book of Isaiah, if you have your Bible, would like to follow along. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Pray with me. Father, again, you've given us the privilege to come into your presence and to call upon your holy and precious name, and just to say thank you for loving us, thank you for forgiving us, and thank you for giving us the opportunities to share your word with other people. Father, bless those who could not be here today because of problems at home, problems with their health, whatever the condition may be. If their heart was here, if those people could just be a part of it, we ask, Lord, you'd bless them for it. I pray that you would today allow us to have a better picture of Jesus. Allow us, Father, to look into your word and see how it speaks to us in our day. And I pray you'd bless this church mightily. Bless their pastor and his family as they just take a break from what he's been doing here in a wonderful way. And forgive us, Father, where we've failed, where we've actually sinned against you, sometimes unknowing. But I pray for your forgiveness. Give us liberty now as we try to share your word. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. And thank you for allowing to be here once again. For 52 years, Uzziah had ruled as king. Judah had become rich and powerful. Her women were worldly. The men had grown indifferent to their responsibility together. They all went down. Look in Isaiah. Just turn back to the third chapter and notice in verse 16. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. You stop and think about our society today. But you know, when we stop and just give thought to what he's saying here, in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16, which we read, 17, therefore the Lord shall smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses, the fine linen, the hoods and the veils. You stop and think about what he's saying here. Read on down to verse 25. The men shall fall by the sword and thy might and thy war, and her gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall be upon the ground. Along with this king Uzziah, he had sinned by going into the temple and to burn incense. He was struck with leprosy. And since no leper could be a king, he was dethroned. But in contrast to the nations, shame came upon him. Isaiah is given a vision of the Lord's glory. The glory was about to depart from the earthly temple. And to this condition then, we find the prophet Isaiah was sent by God to give one of the greatest prophetic utterances ever heard. This vision was served to confirm his faith, move him to reverence, and to just stir him up and fix him for the service that God had called him for. But what I want to talk about this morning is simply this. We all need to have his experience. Revelation. Verse 1, look at it. He saw the Lord. He saw the one whom everybody's got to see if they intend to have eternal life, if they want to go to heaven. He didn't see Jehovah, the essence of God, but he saw Adonai, his dominion, because look in Exodus, if you will. Let's go back here and just look at 33rd chapter, verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Isaiah saw Jesus, as John explains, 800 years later. He said he saw the Lord, Adonai. In the Gospel of John, notice here in the 12th chapter, verse 34, the people answered him and said, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, and how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and he did hide himself from them. Who did he see? Just ask the question, who did he see then? He said, Adonai. Look at it this way when you get all the definitions of these names. He was the disposer of all events, the absolute master of men, and the King of Kings is what he saw. He saw Jesus, the revealer of God. Not dead Uzziah, not his son Jotham, but he said he saw the King of Kings. People, Christ has to be seen by the lost if they're going to ever be saved. They've got to see him. John, the 3rd chapter, Just think about what we find here. Chapter 12 and 34 to 41. The people said, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. The Son of Man must be lifted up." I don't know whether they fully understood that or not. I don't think a lot of Christian people realize what he's talking about. He's talking about he's going to be lifted up before men, but he's also going to be lifted up on a cross. And we need to see that. These people had a yearning just for a glimpse of Jesus. Folks, we cannot be saved without a desire to see Christ. Man is not saved against his will. He's got to want to be saved. The King of Glory can never be seen by anybody until the King himself dies. Want to give up. So long as our will, our interests, our desires are taking first place in our life, we're not going to die. Spiritually, that we're talking about here. We don't have anything to be proud of. Isaiah saw God's glory. Again, look in the Gospel of John. John, the very first chapter, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Folks, we've got to have that yearning, that just a glimpse of Jesus. And the only way we're going to get it is to look in the Word of God and let God speak to our hearts. That's where we see Christ. But Isaiah saw God's glory, according to John, verse 14, first chapter. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The Bible says he saw his train. What are we talking about? But the train signified the skirt or the garment of the robes that they wore. He saw a large flowing robe that filled the Holy of Holies. Always before, when God presented his glory, filling up the temple, we think about the Orientals, their large robes. That was an indication of a high position that they had. It was pomp, really, what it amounted to. Even though Isaiah didn't see the pure essence of God, he said he saw his glory and his absolute lordship. If we come to God's house of worship and we fail to see Jesus, his glory, his lordship, then we've come to the temple in vain. We're just taking up time and too many times our minds, "Oh, what am I going to have for dinner? What am I going to fix the kids? What am I going to do this afternoon when I get home from church?" Just think about it. What's our mind filled with? But he saw these seraphims, the attendants of God. They had all this splendor. It's hard for us to imagine what it might have been like in the king's presence with all these different people. But when John saw Jesus on the throne of glory, he said what? Let's look in the book of Revelations. In Revelations, and the find a passage here. I'm lost my place. But in Revelation, I believe it's the fourth chapter. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was all it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter.' John said in verse 11, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, we think about what John saw and what John said and others have said, but there's a declaration there in the passage that he gave us. In other words, he confessed his condition, but he makes a declaration, if you will. The revelation that Isaiah had of God caused him to declare his sinfulness. Anytime we compare ourselves with God, we see what we really are. But I think that's always going to happen with us. Even though Job was pronounced by God a perfect and upright man, what happened when he saw God? When he really had a vision of God, what happened to him in the book of Job? Things changed. Do you think about Peter? When he finally came to the place that he saw his sinfulness, what happened? Well, he had to do some confessions, don't we? When we really stop and think, and when we're all alone and we think about our life and the things we've done, the things that we've said, and we see ourselves as God sees us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8, let's listen to what the Bible says. Chapter 5, verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a drought. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all the night, we've had nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." Can't you just see that persona? "Well, anyway, I'll do it because you said to." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. You know, how often do you really think about your own sinfulness? What do you see? Do you think you see yourself as God sees you? Are you afraid, "Oh, I don't hope nobody ever finds out about this. I hope my wife or my husband or whatever, I don't want anybody to know about it." But God knows. Why, God is holy in verse 3 there in their text. He's high and lifted up. And if we see him today in that position, I think it'll deliver us from low living. It would deliver a lot of folks from talking about God as if he's my buddy, you know. When you work in some of the places I've had to work in construction and as a laborer, boy, you hear everything. And when you try to witness to some of these guys, it gets even worse. But I feel like you have to let people know. You don't have to put a sign on you, say, "I'm a Christian," but you ought to be able to, in your conversation, they're going to figure out, that guy must go to church somewhere. But we just have to realize, if we get a real connection with God, it's going to deliver us from low living. It delivers some people from talking about God as if he's my buddy. No. We can't rush into the presence of God. He doesn't permit it. We come to the Father how? Through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. We can't approach him because of who we are. We come into his presence because of what we are in Christ. That's the door for us. He's our advocate. We're his children if we're saved. And we can come with boldness to God. But we can't come to him on any other basis. Because of Jesus, I can come into the presence of God. You know, when John saw Jesus on the throne in the book of Revelation, there's little true praise being offered to Christ today, I think. That's the way I feel. But in heaven, we think about the heavenly host of the redeemed. They're going to be paying him tribute. In that day, the angelic host are going to join to give honor and glory to the Lamb of God. The question is, am I going to be there? You're going to be there. Well, let me tell you. I don't believe that God's people is going to wait till we get to heaven to try to magnify the name of Jesus. I think we're going to try to share Christ with other people. And sometimes it's difficult, and we might have to take a different approach that we might take, say, if he's going into somebody's home that has been to church. But the thing about it is, we're going to have to deal with people where they're at. You've got to love them where they're at. And think about where they could be if they bring Christ into their life. I don't think there's any other theme other than the good news of Christ that's worth shouting about. And as the post of the doors shook in the temple, the place was filled with smoke, so the message of the slain Lamb of God would cause those people in that day to tremble. I think we need to very carefully, but as often as we can, if we're talking to people on a one-to-one basis, we need to let those people know that God loves you. And I'm concerned about you. I want you to know the Christ that I know. Very few people that go by the name Christian really see the Lord, because there is no vision of the Savior. There's no deep sense of sin. They don't see themselves as they really are. If you get out here, just like Jeff, he's still working in public. He knows what you're going to run up against. And it's difficult for those people that don't know Christ to really understand what you're talking about. But I guarantee you, anyone you ever talk to, do you want to go to heaven when you die? I've never talked to anybody that said no. They want to go. They need to know how to go. And we need to impress upon them, fellow, lady, you need it now. You can't wait till you're on your deathbed. You can't wait until you die and say, well, I want to go to heaven. You got to do, this is the business you need to take care of now. But I think all of us need a fresh vision of Jesus. Because if we walk in the light of His Word, trying to live it out, we're going to see ourselves. We see ourselves, yes, as a child. And we need the blood of Jesus to continue to cleanse us. I want you to look in a passage in 1 John. 1 John. You know, one thing I really enjoyed about the classes I had in Bible college, Greek especially, in John's Gospel, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's what I wanted to say about that. If you look up in the Greek, what he's saying, this is not a one-time event that when I trusted Jesus. He keeps on cleansing us. That one word says Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Continuously cleansing us, keeps on. Isn't that wonderful to know? John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, when he saw the Lord Christ in glory on the Isle of Patmos, he fell on his feet as a dead man. And I think if we walk in the light of God's Word, it's going to affect us, how we live, what we say. Isaiah then is no exception when he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." But God didn't bring him to this place in his life to despair and say, "I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to be what I want to be. I can't be what somebody else is." But notice in our text, verses 6 and 7, purification. That's what we need, isn't it? Nobody on earth can give us that. Verse 6 and 7, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a coal in his hand, with which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Just think about it. Verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." If every church member that's a child of God would just try to talk to their neighbor, talk to their friends, talk to their family, and that's the hardest ones to talk to. But if we would do what God tells us to do, to talk anyway, regardless of what they say about you, we might see some difference in a lot of people's life. Because confession, when we really get business with God, confessing brings forgiveness and cleansing. And a lot of people never get there. And they'll never admit that anything is wrong with them. Why? They don't see a need of going to church, being a Christian, being baptized, and none of that stuff. Baptized, I believe when you trust Jesus, you ought to follow him in baptism, but it's not going to wash away any sin. The live coal on the altar is an instrument of cleansing. And it's based upon a sacrifice, though. The sacrifice of the Son of God on Calvary. So Isaiah's cleansing, he talked about, removed all the obstacles of guilt, unworthiness, that prevented him carrying God's message to people. We all have to look within and say, "I'm not worthy. I've got this fault and that fault and this sin and that sin." But God loves us. He'll save us, and he will use us if we just say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to?" We just need to do it. But the cleansing that Isaiah went through removed all the obstacles and the guilt that prevented him going out there with a message. And so in verse 8, we find consecration. When we confess, and it's followed by cleansing, then it behooves us to be consecrated. It's true that God doesn't want and will not use an unclean instrument in his service. So the decision to go was left up to Isaiah, and he yielded. God did everything he needed to do in his life and to enable him to be the kind of spokesman he wanted to be. But God calls us to surrender. And when people have a vision of God and they consecrate their lives, there's a change in their character. And if there's not a change, we say, "What in the world is wrong with that person?" Some people just, "I need to be baptized." It's not going to wash away their sins. and lifestyle sometimes does not change, and you know that something is missing in that life called Jesus Christ. Job had a lot of trouble, but God loved him, took care of him. Jacob, you remember him, the supplanter, became Israel. God commanded, God said, I'm going to change your name, old boy. And he changed his vocation. Simon, the cursing fisherman, became Peter, the great evangelist at Pentecost. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Jesus became not only his Savior, but his Lord, and that's what we need. You know, a lot of people give their time, their talents, their money to the church. I've known of people that wouldn't even go to church, would give money for anything that was going on. You needed money. I'll help you out on that. But they won't give themselves. Too many so-called Christians, though, sit, soak, and sour. They're not helping anybody. They don't have any good influence. We all need to pray like Paul and cry out, Lord, what would you have me to do? Everybody, every man's not called to be a preacher, may not even be a deacon, but he still has a job for you to do if you'll do it. I think we just need to pray. Lord, what would you have me do? And like Isaiah say, here I am, send me. Would you just go to the Lord with me in prayer? Father, you know our hearts, you know our lives better than any person on earth. You know the cleansing that needs to take place every once in a while. You know that our mind sometimes just gets loaded down and we forget who we are and why we're here. But I just pray that you would open doors to people who just need Jesus and let them know that you love them, we love them, and we pray to see the day when they'll just come to the foot of the cross and cry, holy. Lord, bless this church mightily. Bless Brother Shelby and his family as they take a break from everything. Lord, continue to work in this church, to reach this community, that many more people can come to the foot of the cross and find forgiveness of their sins. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me as we give an invitation?